Welcome back, Joan. Thanks so much for coming in.
Well, I'm trying to thaw out.
It is freezing here.
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable. And the wind.
Well, so let's start in our weekly overview of things that have been happening here in the Vatican. Let's start with last Sunday. How about that, where the Pope was speaking at the Angelus?
As he always does, he talks about the gospel passage. An Angelus is usually a reflection on that day's gospel. Then the Angelus prayer is said. Afterwards, the Pope may have a special message and or he greets people in different languages. He did talk about the gospel passage about God's will to make men participants in his own life, God's life. Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And the Pope talks about who can become perfect and in what way. He asks the question, in what way can we imitate Jesus? And he says something, of course, that what Jesus said, and it's very difficult to do, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you will be children of your Father who is in heaven. So very lovely words, more than we are saying here. But at the end of the Angelus, he did refer to a feast that did take place on Tuesday, a very, very beautiful day, the Feast of the Chair of Peter. And as a matter of fact, I had a very, very full day on Tuesday, but I went over at 4:30 in the afternoon to get some pictures for my blog. And, of course, I walk in the stunningly beautiful church, the statue of St. Peter, all dressed in vestments, the triple tiara, a ring on a finger of his uplifted right hand, dozens of roses and so forth. They were going to have the Mass at 5 o'clock. Cardinal Comastri, Archpriest of the Basilica, and probably 60, 70, 80 other priests, archbishops and so forth. There was a beautiful Mass, so I stayed for that and took a lot of pictures. It's a very beautiful, beautiful feast day, the Feast of the Chair of Peter. The Pope did refer to that feast day, and he said, to Peter, the first among the apostles, Christ entrusted the task of teacher and shepherd for the spiritual guidance of the people of God so they may be raised to heaven. As always, a splendid Angelus and attended by tens of thousands of people.
Well, then we come up to another very important event here in the Vatican, was the presentation of the papal Lenten message by the Vatican Dicastery, which is responsible for preparing that message, Cor Unum. It's
right.
The Pope's charity office, if you will.
This is an annual message, and Cardinal Robert Sora, who's only been president for 6 or 7 months now of the Council, he presented it. And the message was entitled, You Were Buried With Him in Baptism, in which you were also raised with him. And he was joined by other people, including the secretary and undersecretary of the council in the presentation. And basically, in his presentation of the message, both of which are not very long, but certainly it behooves all of our listeners to read the message. It's online. It's brief enough not to make a huge a huge chunk of time out of your day. But the cardinal referred in his speech to the bonds between baptism and charity underscored by the Pope in his message. And it's the God's love that he gives us this gift of our faith, and we are born into the church through baptism. And it is another love that is to be born in us for our brothers and sisters that really leads us to do charitable deeds on behalf of our brothers and sisters. And in that context, actually, Cardinal Sarat spoke of his trip to Haiti. I think he'd only returned a week earlier, and which was devastated by an earthquake and an outbreak of cholera. And then actually Monsignor D'Altozzo, the secretary of the council, spoke about that trip and highlighted a number of aspects of the trip. Oh, he mentioned that the Holy Father for Haiti alone had given $2 million in aid, which is like a drop in the ocean, as he said, when you think of the huge needs. However, symbolically, it's important. And I had asked him, to whom does that money go? How is it delivered and so forth? They work through the Apostolic Nuncio. They work through various Catholic organizations, NGOs, and so forth, and charities. The Holy Father wanted the money to be earmarked mainly for the rebuilding of churches and schools. And churches because he wanted to highlight the spiritual aspect of his gift. It was a material gift of money, but to highlight the spiritual aspect. So the Lenten 2011 message, it's out there in a number of languages for everyone to read, and those languages also include Chinese and Arabic.
I didn't know.
Yes.
I had done an interview, which our listeners will be able to find on Vatican Radio's English World website, with one of the officials there, the English-speaking officials at Cor Unum, Monsignor Anthony Figueiredo, who offered a really beautiful reflection on the imagery contained in this message. So I invite our listeners to go look for that on www.vaticanradio.org. But now, Joan, let's go to
Wednesday.
Some of the other things happening this week. Of course, we had the general audience. The Pope also blessed a new statue of the 5th century Syrian monk,
Saint Maron,
which has been placed in a niche on the back of St. Peter's Basilica.
But Saint Maron, like you said, of course, he's considered the founder of Maronite Christianity.
Exactly.
So if our listeners ever hear of Maronite faithful, the Maronite rite, this is who we're talking about.
Many of them have come from Lebanon, of course.
Oh, yeah. Many, exactly. You really think of Lebanon probably more than anything else when you think of Maronites, but there is the diaspora. You will find the Maronites in many, many countries. It was very interesting because present at the blessing of this statue by the Pope was the president, Michel Sleiman, the president of Lebanon, his wife, Cardinal and also Patriarch Nasrallah Sfeir of Antioch of the Maronites, Lebanese lawmakers of various religious denominations, several Vatican cardinals, obviously, including Secretary of State Tarcisio Bertone, to honor Saint Maron, of course. He was a mystic and a hermit, and as you said, born in Syria. His miracles and teachings attracted many, many supporters throughout the Eastern Roman Empire. And Thursday, the Pope received the president of Lebanon. They met, obviously, briefly on Wednesday before the audience,
exactly.
But he received him in a private audience. And, you know, Lebanon is in the middle of a political crisis. You have the Hezbollah-led March 8th coalition, which caused the government to collapse and forced Prime Minister Saad Hariri out of office in January. Now, he's the son of former Prime Minister Rafik Hariri, who was assassinated in February of 2005. And there's, of course, a court looking into who's responsible for his assassination. There are people who do not want that court to reach and announce a final verdict. That's another problem. So,
some of these issues were among those that they discussed, obviously.
Oh, sure, on Thursday.
On Thursday, and also the turmoil sweeping across the Arab world.
Exactly.
But, you know, I was there at that Saint Maron inauguration, and I recognized this Lebanese woman journalist who used to work for LBC, the Lebanese Broadcasting Corporation. And shortly after Hariri was assassinated in 2005, she was the target of a car bombing, and she lost a leg and a hand. And she told me that it was very important for her to be there. And you know what she said? She said, well, first of all, that she attributes her living today mm-hmm. to her guardian angels.
Wow.
And also to saints like Saint Charbel and Saint Maron, the Lebanese saints. And she said she was happy to be here. She said, we're all the disciples of Saint Maron. We came especially from Lebanon to celebrate this very special occasion. To have the saint here besides all of the other saints in the Vatican means a lot. And she said, I think it's thanks to him, maybe, that there are still Christians in the Middle East.
How amazing. Very meaningful. It's what Francis of Assisi is to Assisi and Italy. That's what Charbel and Maron really are to
exactly.
Lebanon, because that's where you're going to see a huge number of Maronites.
Well, we've transgressed here, but we were going to speak about the audience. So let's talk about what the Pope had to say back then, because right after that ceremony for St. Maron,
he went to the Paul VI
exactly.
hall, right,
mm-hmm.
and continued his audience catechesis on doctors of the Church. And he focused on St. Robert Bellarmine, of course, the great Jesuit theologian. And the Pope noted that in the period following the Council of Trent, he taught theology first at Louvain and then in the Roman College. And the Pope highlighted the most famous work of St. Robert Bellarmine, that's to say the Controversiae, which sought to address issues raised by Protestant theology. And Bellarmine tried to approach these issues not in a polemical fashion, but a very historical, serene, and theological perspective. But the Pope said, actually, Bellarmine's most popular work remains his catechism, his brief catechism of Christian doctrine. So also, Bellarmine did serve as a spiritual father to the Jesuits of the Roman College, including St. Aloysius Gonzaga. And Bellarmine was made a cardinal by Pope Clement VIII, and he was the Archbishop of Capua, a very effective preacher and teacher, working very hard in pastoral activity. He was called back to Rome and to the service of the Holy See. But probably more than anything, Bellarmine is known for his Ignatian spirituality. But we cannot fail to mention, too, that at the end of the audience, the Holy Father did share, obviously, with the faithful there present, the fact that of the huge earthquake that had struck Christchurch, New Zealand.
Of course.
And he talked about the huge number of dead. And he said there are still many, many people missing, not to mention damage, obviously, to buildings. He asked the faithful to pray for not only those who had lost their lives, but those who were victims but still living, and also for all the caregivers and workers who assist in such a tragedy. So,
well, I'm afraid on that very sad note, we'll have to leave it. But thank you so much, Joan, for coming in this week. We'll meet again next week.
I hope it's warmer.
Yeah. Bye-bye. And again, thanks there to Joan Lewis, the Rome Bureau Chief of EWTN.